Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
First, we can't begin this chilly Saturday morning without noticing and noting those news headlines of a record daily total of 8,248 new cases of COVID-19 notified yesterday and 20 deaths from the disease. Just to put that in context, this day last month, the number of cases notified were 218, and the death toll is the highest since last May. I'm joined by Professor Sam McConkie from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Damien. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Looking back on the past week, what's your analysis this morning, Sam?
I think many of us are sad and shocked, and we're hoping when, you know, we face the third wave, as this is, that it wouldn't be as bad as the previous ones, whereas it looks now as if it's at least as bad as the first and really probably more impactful in Ireland than the first time we sort of dealt with this infection back in March and April.
I was reading this morning where there is some welcome news in terms of the rollout of the vaccine to frontline workers and maybe GPs now as well, which is welcome news. We'll talk about the vaccine in a while, but while protecting frontline workers, as we know, is imperative, we do depend on a steady food supply chain too, Sam. How should people from farmers to factory workers right through to shopkeepers be thinking of the COVID risk right now? We got through 2020 okay, despite the early worries back in March, but shop shelves were always full. The food supply chain remained. Is there a worry at this stage, though, that it could be compromised in any way?
I think the whole industry, farming and food processing and supermarkets and retail has learned and adapted in very effectively to this virus, and partly because of the layout of rural Ireland, where many people live on a home in the middle of a family farm, which is several hundred metres away from other homes. That way of living, of being spaced out and separated from each other, is intrinsically a relatively safe way to settle and to sort of have our houses, as compared to, say, London, where they're all stacked on top of each other in skyscrapers, which is sort of the opposite. So I think there are geographic factors that help those living in rural Ireland that control the virus just because of the geographic layout of things. So it's the key thing then is just not meeting lots of other people. And unfortunately, many people in the farm community are working outside, working with animals. The animals seem fine, and working on tractor work and, you know, milking and beef farming. It's often quite an isolated life where there's just one or two people out working together rather than big groups of 5 or 10. And it is almost frequently outdoors. So I think doing what we've all learned to do over the last 10 months and just doing it thoroughly and well is what will protect the farming industry. For the food processing, there obviously have been lots of outbreaks in the food industry, partly because the workspaces are more squashed together. They're indoors, crowded, sometimes noisy, sometimes shouting, and they have led to significant outbreaks, as we all know. I think those industry owners and managers have adapted and changed those, if only because if they don't change, they know the food production line will stop and there'll, you know, be delays and losses. And I think also another point I suppose I'd make is accommodation. Sometimes you have people squashed together with maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 to a room, and that's not an ideal sort of bed and board accommodation type of way to live during a COVID-19 outbreak, because if one person of the 6 gets it, then the other 5 probably will get it if you're sharing a bedroom and so on. So high quality accommodation where, you know, if you have a single room, you have one person in a double room, 2 people in it, but this idea of lots of people squashed together isn't good. So I think most people now have really taken that on board, and since March to now have really changed as much as they can the industries. Supermarkets have fed us very well, and, you know, I know at one stage they ran out of toilet roll, but I think that was more an inappropriate demand problem. It wasn't never really a supply problem. So we've all been very well fed. I think many of us are eating better now and cooking better than we ever did due to the high quality, mostly Irish products that we're enjoying.
And it's something you have a close affinity to, because you grew up in a farm in Clonus in County Monaghan.
I did, yeah, in between Clonus and Ballybay. So it was a mixed... Back then, farms had a little bit of everything. And we'd, you know, maybe 40, 50 cows, the calves, bullocks, a bull, and then 3,000 laying hens. There were some pigs, there were some sheep. There was also tillage. We grew turnips and carrots and cabbage and potatoes sometimes. So it was a diverse little bit of everything type of farm, as many of them were back then, which meant that if one bit didn't do well, if the price of eggs was low, at least you depended then on the milk, or if the price of milk was low, you depended on the eggs, and so on. Now, my family, my brother's involved in running it now, but now it's, of course, specialised, and it's mainly now dairying. It's now really only focusing on cows, and is obviously much bigger. So I had a great life. I really, really enjoyed it. It was almost idyllic, wonderful outdoors, surrounded by the people and animals, and great kind of work ethic, great sense of learning about animals and learning about working with wood and iron. And, you know, if you had to change the tire in a tractor, you just sort of got in and did it. And there was that great sense of identifying the problems around you and then getting in and fixing them rather than being in any way overwhelmed by them.
And I suppose living on a farm, that's probably where you got to learn a little bit in the early days with infectious diseases as well, which farmers have to deal with quite a lot, as we know. And have you been able to get home at all, or do you get home, or do you help out when you get back home, Sam?
I've been home very, very little because my mother's very elderly, and clearly shielding the elderly is a really important part of what we do. So I suppose in all of 2020, it was twice, which, you know, is that's one of the hardest things, I think, for all of us, is that sense of not being able to visit our loved ones. Now, of course, we can telephone and Skype and all those things, so we have technologies, but it's difficult to travel when we're only, you're not allowed to go 5 kilometres now, so I haven't been there much. I do less now. To be honest, I suppose when I'm up, I'm more there to visit people and talk with them. I'm doing less physical work than I used to. When I was a student, I'd go home and spend my summers drawing silage and spreading slurry and buckraking silage.
Well, you probably wouldn't have been you wouldn't have been allowed home without having to pull your weight, I suppose, anyway, in that regard. Just on that, you're talking about your elderly mother. I mean, this other aspect of, you know, the lockdown, which we must adhere to and hopefully bring down the numbers and follow Neffet's advice. But the talk about, you know, all no pub, no mart, no religious services, no meetings, not being able to visit neighbours, and people that are already very isolated, this is an extra layer on top of them.
Yeah, at this point, there's so much of this virus in the community. There's a lot of sick people around. Even you don't even need tests now. Almost every household and every family knows somebody who's sick and had it, or contacts. So we're at a very, very high level of infection community. So now in sort of January 2021 is definitely not the time to be going to have a party or to visit elderly or dependent ones. So I hope that, just as it did in June and July and August, that things improve again. I hope that we do have, you know, better times in February, March, April. But right now, I'm sort of very committed to encouraging my mother not to go out. Now, it's been so frosty out there, it's partly, don't go out in case you break your hip as well. So that's a different issue. But
And we will be talking.
I think now we have to stay in.
Yeah, we will be talking to a farmer later on whose family have it at the moment and how they're operating. Just briefly and finally, Sam, a lot of frustration in the public there about the rollout of vaccines. Are we a bit slow?
So the main issue with vaccines, Damien, is that all around the world there are about, you know, a demand for 16 billion doses. So nearly every country in the world and everyone in the world wants 2 doses, and that's 16 billion. And trying to make that quickly is impossible. So we've got a supply chain problem, a delivery problem. So the HSE, I believe, are doing their best, given the fact that they don't know exactly how many doses and when they will come. So you can only administer the doses that are physically available to you in the country. You can't sort of say, in March we'll vaccinate this and that nursing home, because they don't know for sure exactly what supplies will be available. So the supply chain is intrinsically shaky. And that's not unusual. We all know that lots of supply chains for lots of things imported from abroad, even Apple phones and all these little gadgets, were all struggling back in March, April, May. So this is part of this problem we have, is that international supply chains are really disrupted and very, very challenging and unpredictable. So the idea of planning, let's vaccinate such and such a place in March, is difficult because we don't know what product we'll have. Now, vaccination we've been doing in Ireland for, you know, decades and more than 50 years. So there are pharmacists, there are nurses, there are doctors, there are lots of staff can vaccinate. So GP practices and occupational health and so on. So we do have a lot of vaccination capacity here. So my view is, had we the products, it would be easy enough to scale up quickly.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Professor Sam McConkie, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. And hello to your mum there in Clonus if she's listening in this morning. Mind yourself, and everybody indeed, mind yourself on the frost this morning. Sam, thanks a million for that.